the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the epistle lesson from 1 Timothy. You may be seated. Dear saints, when I was, somewhere between 5 and 8 years old, I used to play pastor. My dad was a pastor, so I guess that's not too surprising. I made stoles out of construction paper. I would make my mom and dad come to church in my room. My dad was the acolyte and the organist, playing on my little brown plastic electronic organ, and my mom was the congregation. I don't remember exactly what we did. We went through some sort of liturgy, I suppose, and I no doubt preached about something. I had a lot of pastors in my family, my dad, grandpa, great uncles. Things changed a bit when I became a teenager. I was into computers. That's what I wanted to do with my life, was computers. My first roommate in college, a secular college, mind you, was also a PK, pastor's kid. And his dad, Pastor Murley, was a pastor in St. Louis, a Lutheran pastor where I was going to school. So his parents would pick me up for church most Sundays. Eventually, my parents moved to St. Louis, and I started going to church with them. Pastor Castens was the pastor there. I moved to Houston for graduate school. Pastors Winchy and Gravesmill, both now with the Lord, were my pastors, and later Pastor Stelling. And somehow, through the influence of all of these pastors, and the Holy Spirit, I suppose, I too was led to become a pastor in Christ's church. Today is the feast of St. Timothy, pastor and confessor. Since his feast day has fallen on a Sunday, we take time to think about St. Timothy. Yet it's not so much about the man. After all, we really don't know too much about him. Instead, we are led to think about the office in which he served, that of pastor. And we soon learn to think about the pastor is also to think about how and why we are to live as Christians. Timothy was from Lystra, which is in modern-day Turkey, and the Apostle Paul met him on his second missionary journey. Timothy's mother Eunice was of Jewish descent and was a Christian, as was his grandmother, Lois. His father, on the other hand, was a Gentile. Timothy had been raised as a Christian, and when Paul came to Lystra, the believers there spoke highly of him. Paul took on Timothy as a helper in ministry, and he became a dearly loved and trusted church worker, a co-worker with Paul. Paul mentions Timothy as a co-sender of 6 letters in the New Testament. When Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, he had placed Timothy in the important Christian city of Ephesus, where he was serving as the bishop. Our text comes from the end of the letter, as Paul begins by saying, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith." Paul urges Timothy to flee these things. Well, what things is Timothy supposed to flee? Earlier, Paul mentioned 2 things, false teaching and greed, the love of money. And throughout this letter, Paul has emphasized that as the head pastor, Timothy must teach the truth, must teach correct doctrine. He begins the letter by saying, "As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine." In chapter 4, he tells Timothy, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. The same things I'm charged with doing among you." In this chapter, Paul has also just warned Timothy about the love of money. He explains, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Timothy is to flee these things. We are to flee these things. And in place of these things, Paul tells Timothy and us to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. These are the things that are to be his focus. These are to be the characteristics that his life reflects. Paul tells him, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." The apostle's words remind us that faith and salvation are a gift. They are something to which we are called by God, not something which we create on our own. But while God alone can create faith, we must then pursue the life that clings to Christ and lives as he has made us. You, like Timothy, have made the good confession. You publicly confessed your faith at your confirmation when you vowed to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death. You confess your sins. You confess the content of your faith in the creed every Sunday. These are good confessions. Now, obviously, not all are pastors, but in Paul's opening, he says this, "But as for you, O man of God," and in the reference to the command that Timothy is to keep, "you are included in that, because you are also men and women of God." Paul addresses Timothy as a man of God, and it is a reminder that at its most basic level, Timothy is not just a pastor, he is first a Christian. And the instruction Paul has given to Timothy includes these words, "Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." Timothy is to be an example to the Christians in Ephesus as he lives out the instruction and the faith that has been given to him. Much of that instruction has included a word that includes, it occurs in our text several times, and that is godliness. Godliness was a Greek idea that has been Christianized. In general, it means to live in a religious, pious, a faithful way. Although we know that since the fall, humankind has been the very opposite of godly. If godliness were based on our actions, on what we do, we don't come out looking so good. We don't look so godly. The very thing Timothy is supposed to focus on in his ministry, teaching God's word, is certainly part of godliness, but it's not something that occupies any of us the way it should. There are things that interest us more than God's word, things that we'd rather spend our time doing. Perhaps you've noticed the Bible readings listed in the church newsletter, that if you follow them, you'll go through the entire Bible in a year. It's good, godly discipline. I encourage you to do that. We mentioned that Timothy is charged to flee from the love of money, to flee from a fixation on wealth and things, to turn away from coveting. But what about us? We're to flee that too. But it seems too often we want and we want and we want in ways that never really satisfy us. The things we desire, the things that will make us happy, soon become added to the list of things we think are essential and we take for granted as we go after the next thing that will make us happy. And so it would seem our quest for godliness falls rather short on multiple levels. But Paul tells Timothy that the foundation of Christian godliness is not what we do, but what Jesus has done for us. He writes this: "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory." St. Paul says godliness is shown in a person. Godliness is given to us through a person. Godliness is a gift. It comes from God through Jesus. The Son of God was manifested in the flesh and died on a cross to redeem us all from our ungodliness. And on the third day, was vindicated by the Spirit and raised from the dead. God has done this in his Son in order to give you salvation, in order to clothe you with Christ's godliness. At the beginning of the letter, Paul pointed to himself as a prime example of being given this godliness. He writes, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." Paul counts himself among us, a sinner in need of God's mercy and grace, and one who received it. For godliness is a gift. And godliness, the gift, leads to godliness in life. Because God has given us the salvation in his Son, the words that Paul wrote for Timothy, the pastor, are true for you and I as well. You may not be a pastor, but as Paul says in this letter, pastors like Timothy are called to be examples for their congregations. The word that they teach is also the word they are to live. The word that you hear is the word that you are to live. And so because of the godliness that God has given you in Christ, Paul says, "But as for you, O man of God, but as for you, O woman of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called." In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.